Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good morning and welcome to Cosmic Influence. My name is Walter Cruttenden and I'm here with co-host Jeff Pitino, and we are the show that explores the possibility that ancient civilizations may have been correct in their belief that history moves in a great cycle with high ages of enlightenment and low ages of darkness. Really, ancient cultures around the world spoke of this cycle. Some called it the Yuga cycle, others just called it the cycle of the ages, The Greeks, like Plato, called it the Great Year. And as we've been doing our research, we're finding more and more cultures around the world paid attention to this cycle. In fact, the work of Giorgio de Santillana, who along with Hertha von Deschen wrote Hamlet's Mill, outlines over 30 ancient cultures that mention this cycle in over 200 bits of myth and folklore. So we have been sort of on a quest, Jeff and I, these last few years to really investigate this myth, this folklore, the megalithic structures that point to a higher civilization in the past, and that's what this show is all about.
Yeah, and that quest fortunately brings us into contact with some really interesting people. Like today, our guest, we're being joined by physicist Dr. Claude Swanson. Dr. Swanson's an MIT and Princeton-educated physicist. He's worked as a conventional applied physicist and also has conducted extensive research into the physics of the paranormal.
And where Jeff and I have really focused on the possible cause behind the rise and fall of civilization, the binary motion, the physics of it, and so forth, Claude has an interesting point of view. Being one of the foremost researchers of the paranormal out there, he's probably more tuned in to some of the capabilities that we read about in myth and folklore that existed during the higher ages, such as clairvoyance, telepathy, and
remote viewing. A lot of things that we might associate with higher levels of consciousness, and when we get into some of his research, I think you'll agree, it's very fascinating. If at any point you'd like more information on our show or the topics we talk about here on the Cosmic Influence, please visit either the Binary Research Institute's website at binaryresearchinstitute.org or Walter's book's website, Lost Star of Myth and Time, which is loststarbook.com.
Incidentally, we just had our big conference that explores this subject yesterday. It ended, and it was a smash hit success. We had Graham Hancock there, author of Fingerprints of the Gods, John Anthony West. John Major Jenkins gave a great talk, and as did Claude and many others. If you would like a recording of those talks, if you didn't get a chance to join us there, then you can do so. And how do they do that, Jeff?
The recordings are available online at the conference website, which is cpaconline.com. That's cpaconline.com. And just click on the link right on the homepage. That will take you to where you can buy DVDs, video DVDs, and audio CDs of each of the presentations. And we had some really fascinating topics, and definitely they're worth checking out.
Right. Yeah, one of the speakers there, too, was Jeff Marcy, the astronomer from UC Berkeley, who has found more exosolar planets. This is planets around other stars than anybody else on Earth today, and he gave a fascinating talk about the possibility of intelligent life beyond Earth. So I think we need to take a break here in about a minute or so. And
so Well, before we take a break, we'll just talk a little bit more about Dr. Swanson's background.
Okay, give us his background.
As we get into it. For the last 15 years, he's interspersed his conventional physics career with investigations into more unconventional physics. His principal interest has been unified field theory, the so-called theory of everything, which tries to unite both quantum and macro physics, which could eventually help explain the universe at the deepest possible level. This has led him to investigate many aspects of the paranormal, which appear to be completely real phenomena, which violate our present science. And I think we'll find that, as we talk to him, there are a lot of things that we just can't explain right now. So we refer to them as paranormal phenomena.
And this isn't some woo-woo ghost chaser kind of guy out there. Just a quick educational background on Claude. He's a physicist educated at MIT and Princeton. During those years at MIT, worked with the Science Teaching Center in Brookhaven National Laboratory and the Virginia Cyclotron. At Princeton, he received the National Science Foundation Fellowship and Putnam Fellowship. His PhD thesis at Princeton was done in the Gravity Group, which focuses on experimental cosmology and astronomy, and was headed by the Nobel laureate Robert Dickey. His thesis advisor was Professor David Wilkinson, who later became chairman of the physics department. So Claude is a guy that really knows his stuff, and we're looking forward to getting into this with him right after the break here.
You're listening to The Cosmic Influence, and we will be right back.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cruttenden, and co-host Jeff Pitino is
here. How are you doing?
And we've got Dr. Claude Swanson on the line. Claude, how you doing?
I'm doing just great.
Good, good. I must say you had a tremendous response to your talk you gave at the conference talking about consciousness and man's capability in the higher ages. Very good job.
Well, thank you.
I know much of this is discussed in your book, The Synchronized Universe, New Science of the Paranormal. Can you give us just a quick little overview of that book?
You bet. The book really came out of my life's quest, trying to find the truth about how the universe really works. That's what got me into physics in the first place. In the mid-80s, I discovered there were some things that my graduate education had left out. Remote viewing was one of them. If you're a physicist and hear about remote viewing, you realize the implications for our science are enormous. It started a quest ever since then to look into all the other areas that are maybe not respected or valued so much in mainstream science, and see what the facts were, what the real data is. Things like remote viewing, like ESP, psychokinesis, levitation, all those strange things, and really try to find out, are they real or not? And if they are, how can our science change to begin to explain them? And that's really what the book tries to pull together, the best evidence for a lot of these phenomena, and then how our science can begin to change to accommodate them.
You know, it's always struck me that science, you know, from the outside you think it should be black and white. It either is or it isn't. And yet I guess the world is full of controversy on these types of issues, and people fight it left and right. Have you seen some of that in your own career?
Very much so. You know, the problem is that these institutions are actually run by human beings. And it's the scientific method is a wonderful, objective method. It says you look at the data. If the data says something happens, then and your theory does not predict that, then you've got to go back to the drawing boards and fix your theory. Unfortunately, in reality, there are people who kind of run these institutions who probably created the current theories. So sometimes there are egos involved. There are sometimes corporate interests involved because new breakthroughs may mean that some old technology becomes obsolete and something new is going to take its place. The defense industry gets involved because they want to keep these new discoveries secret. And so there are all these different players that come in and they make it a less than perfect system.
Well, you stated, aside from the controversy of people, whether or not they accept these ideas or not, you've stated that we're at the beginning of a new scientific revolution. And why do you feel that? Are people more accepting of these ideas, or what's going on?
What's been happening the past 20 or 25 years is that data has begun to pile up. Very hard, carefully acquired data by real scientists. The Princeton Pear Lab is one example. It's been run by Professor Robert John, who used to be head of the engineering department there. Over a 30-year period, they have collected hundreds of thousands of experiments proving that remote viewing, ESP, and psychokinesis, the ability to affect machines at a distance, that these things really happen. The statistics in favor of these phenomena being real are hundreds of billions to one. So we have really hard evidence from a number of areas that these phenomena do happen, even though our current science still can't explain it. And I think one of the reasons that it's a slow process is that a lot of these experiments are not allowed to be published in the mainstream physics journals. So even physicists, the people who are working at the forefront of string theory and things like that, they think they're trying to explain the universe, but the universe they're trying to explain doesn't have a lot of the phenomena in it that we know really happen.
Is that changing? Are more journals accepting articles on these subtle effects?
What's been happening is other groups have been created that kind of act as in the intermediary, that the Society for Scientific Exploration, the ICEM, which does subtle energy research. There's several conferences which have been set up with their own journals, and they're hard scientists in most cases, but they're willing to study these borderland-type subjects, the ones that aren't accepted by the mainstream. So I don't really see too much flexibility yet with the mainstream physics journals, but new journals are being created in the middle that do publish some of these.
Yeah, you sure see the public more and more accepting of these ideas, and so sooner or later it would seem to put pressure on the scientific community.
Well, I think the popular media has, there are so many programs like sightings and all things of that ilk over the years that have shown such good examples that these phenomena really happen. So young physicists coming up are exposed to this, and when they come to college and they're given the old story, the old theory, they say, well, what about ghosts?
Right.
What about the outer body? And I think so there's an openness probably among the newer ones coming in.
And I think Hollywood, too, actually is helping to condition consciousness to some degree. You know, 50, 100 years ago, it was just science fiction that you could go to the moon, or we'd have communication devices where we could send pictures and talk to people halfway around the world. It was all just considered fantasy. And those things have happened, and now there's some great new shows on. Jeff and I were just talking about Heroes the other day, where they have all these characters.
Yeah, and some of it's in a way a very kind of quasi X-Men type thing, where it's humanity is evolving to this new state. But some of the abilities that they have in the characters are very much kind of those higher age things that we hear about, like
telepathy
and the ability to mentally warp space and time around oneself.
Absolutely. Yeah, in the popular media, these ideas are here, and I think it's only a matter of time before physicists really take a serious look at it. It is in every scientific revolution. Thomas Kuhn was a great writer who studied scientific revolutions. There's always a period where the old guard resists. There's always that sticky aspect that could last for decades or even a century before the data becomes so overwhelming that Not that the old theories give way and the new ones come.
Sure. Well, one of our mottos here is bring on the higher ages. So
exactly.
We're all for the new. So tell me about some of the specific phenomena that you have investigated over the years that that strikes you as particularly convincing.
Well, you know, one of the first ones for me, I think, as a scientist, one of the first things I did was go out and actually look at the published data for all these different subjects, the ones I mentioned, ESP, psychokinesis, remote viewing, et cetera, dowsing. There's lots of different subjects that for which there's very hard data. So the first thing I did was to find out what it is, put it together, and that's what this book and later books I'm working on pull in. After that, I began saying, okay, I have to get to meet these people. Are these people crazy? Are they nuts? Or are they really solid people? I would go to conferences and get to know a lot of the researchers. And I found some of the most brilliant and most ethical people doing research in these areas. The next thing I did was to say, okay, well, what would it be like if I actually experienced some of these states? I did take a psychic development course. The teacher had me meditate every day, twice a day, for a month or two, and had us do experiments. One of the experiments involved holding an object that belonged to someone else in the group. We didn't know who owned this object. And then just close your eyes and let your imagination run wild. And what I found myself imagining in my, you know, seeing in a screen in my mind is a horse farm with a blue truck and a white house. I described in some detail. It was exactly correct for the person who had been, you know, carrying this object around. That's a, you know, a technique called scrying or psychometry that's used by psychics. Another thing which I did was take a remote viewing course. By this time, the mid-90s, the military remote viewing programs had fallen apart, but a lot of their graduates had set up schools so you could actually take remote viewing courses. I went down to Courtney Brown's Institute in Atlanta, and I took three courses there. And even in my first session, I was seeing evidence that remote viewing really works. You know, you just sort of, there's a very strict procedure that you go through. The whole idea is that most of us Americans live in our left brain. We're too analytical. Our mind chatters too much. And we know now from research that we're all psychic. We all have these abilities, but we have to learn to quiet that chattering, judgmental, analytical mind. Remote viewing is a technique in which you keep that mind busy. You give it things to do. You give it charts to fill out, tables to fill in. So in my first session, I was sketching this background of these two or three large mountains. And in the foreground, I saw this dark train moving from left to right, a dark black train left to right with smoke coming out the back, out of a smokestack. Turned out the actual target was a photograph, and it looked very much like that. It had the same mountains in the background. Instead of the dark train, it had two black jets flying from left to right, but their contrails looked very much like the smoke trail of the train. So I was picking up some unmistakable elements of the scene. Some of the sessions were much better than that, but even at the very beginning, it was clear that we have these abilities, and we were able to pick up these things.
And that's just with a month or two of training, you say?
Exactly, with very little training.
That's
exactly.
Amazing. You know, I went to a class once on psychometry. I must have been 17 years old, and there was one psychic fellow there, and there were about 25 of us in the class. And so we each took an article that belonged to us when he was out of the room, and we placed it on a tray, you know, as a ring or a belt or a shoe or something. And it was all just big jumbled up in a pile. And then we put it in the center of the room, and then we had him come in, and he took one object at a time, and Dr. Tuntlin was his name at the Unity Church, and he told us about the person that owned that object, and then he would walk right over to the person in the room that it belonged to.
Well, he was good.
Wow. He was very, very good. Yeah, he was outstanding.
Yeah. Of course, I mean, for me, what is interesting is, number one, that these discoveries, these phenomena, are part of a science. And it's part of a science we don't currently have. It's part of an advanced science that will take our current science and leapfrog it, you know, hundreds of years ahead. It teaches us also about consciousness, because all of these effects involve human consciousness. And that's one thing that current science doesn't really talk much about. It doesn't really have a clue how to analyze it or look at it or understand it. As you start reading the research and doing experiments, you find that out-of-body experiences, for example, are a very important part of this whole range of psychic phenomena. People who go out-of-body, and even remote viewing oftentimes has out-of-body as, you know, the technique that the experiencer is using to go look at some object in some other place or even some other time. And there have been experiments where during the out-of-body experiment, they're able to measure strange energies around the target, which indicate that some energetic aspect of the viewer has gone and left the body and gone to the location of the target and is actually being detected there by electrical sensors, magnetic sensors, optical sensors, strain gauges. So out-of-body is actually a real state. There's a real energy form that actually does leave the body, and it seems to be very, you know, wrapped up in this whole mystery of psychic phenomena. Ingo Swann is one of the great remote viewers and sort of helped the military start our own government remote viewing program back in the 70s, feels that most remote viewing is out of body. And so what I'm trying to say is that these are new forces. These are forces that our current science knows nothing about. And as we...
Well, let's talk about what science knows and what they don't know as soon as we get back from our break here. We're talking to Dr. Claude Swanson, the author of Synchronized Universe, and this is Cosmic Influence.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Crittenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Crittenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time in a bookstore near you.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcasting coders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. earthchannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to The Cosmic Influence with Walter Cruttenden, our host, and I'm Jeff Pitino. We're talking today with Dr. Claude Swanson. And Dr. Swanson, right before the break, we were talking about out-of-body experience and how that indicates there's some other forces and other potential energies that comprise consciousness and the human experience that really science has yet to tap into. Let's definitely talk more in detail about that. And I wonder, do you suppose there's some sort of connection with that to quantum elements that we don't yet understand? Like, we know that quarks, regardless of the amount of space that they're separated by, quark pairs will still react to actions taken on one.
Right. I think as far as trying to understand it in terms of conventional science, and we probably have a long ways to go, one of the things that we know right now is that this energy form that seems to make up the out-of-body state. And let me back up one or two steps, because there's a whole variety of different kinds of experiments that are done for different purposes that are now kind of converging on one picture. You've probably seen photographs of orbs, for example. Go to a haunted house, and people snap their flash photographs. Oftentimes, orbs will show up. With video camera footage, especially with a night shot infrared video, you'll often see orbs flying around in haunted areas.
Yeah, we just talked to John Burke in a previous show, and he has all these photographs in his books of orbs at ancient sites.
Right, exactly. At ancient sites, orbs have been photographed in the process of creating crop circles in some cases. There have been cases where a person does an out-of-body experiment and is asked to go visit another person someplace else. What that person describes as seeing is an orb zipping around. So it appears that our consciousness, our location of our sense of self, actually is part of what leaves the body, and it goes as an energetic form, and it is described as an orb. So in these out-of-body and remote viewing experiments, that same type of phenomenon appears to happen. The orb has actually been photographed in some cases, and in some cases it actually takes its own picture by impressing itself, its energy, on photographic film. So we're starting to get a unified picture here that in addition to the physical body, we also have this energetic form which can leave the body. It's a higher dimensional energy, probably. It's not a physical energy. What we're starting to, we're on the verge of now is understanding there are other dimensions, other parallel dimensions and higher dimensional realities that are all kind of coexisting with the physical. And this consciousness that can leave the body is probably comprised of energy of that type. But anyway, we're beginning to have now the beginnings of a science of this stuff. Also, we know that when people die, there is a weight loss at death, and people often see an orb leaving the body at the time of death. So it may be that this orb is also part of, the soul, the human soul. We're getting evidence now that the soul is real, and we're just starting to be able to measure some of the characteristics. So it's the beginning of a whole new understanding of life after death and of the continuation of consciousness after death, which of course takes us back in then to ancient beliefs.
Well, exactly. This is our area of research, and this subtle energy that makes up these orbs or auras around matter organisms today. Man, this was talked about thousands of years ago, but they just used different terms such as chi or prana or reiki in Japan.
Exactly.
And it kind of went away in the Dark Ages, and now it's being studied again.
Yeah, that's the exciting thing for me too, because I think our science is now starting to be able to validate in sort of the Western mindset some of these very ancient terms from the East, like reiki and like chi and yin and yang, the subtle energies that are used in energy healing. And these have been used for thousands of years in the Far East, and now Western science is starting to be able to prove in its own way that, yes, these things really do work and they exist.
You know? I hear you loud and clear. One thing you talked about in your book a little bit was near-death experience.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell us, you know, I know that many people have had very similar experiences there. What sort of research have you done in this area?
I think one of my conclusions from all of my research is the best way, the fastest way to advance is to die. If you have a little near-death experience or two, it seems to have an amazing effect on people's awareness of the higher dimensions, people who die for short periods of time and come back.
Good thing this is our Halloween show, by the way.
And there are now hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people who have been dead for a short amount of time. With our CPR and resuscitation and technology, a lot of people who have been clinically dead have been brought back from a clinically dead state, and in many cases they have a story to tell which has a pattern that repeats over and over. Dr. Raymond Moody, an MD back in the 70s, began collecting these stories and interviewing these types of near-death experiencers, and he found that it did not depend so much on their religious point of view. They, even atheists often reported when they were clinically dead, going out of body, floating above the body, looking down at it, then a dark hole would appear, a tunnel. They would go into the tunnel, see light at the other end. They would often see angels or departed relatives in this tunnel. At the other end was a realm of light, a whole different dimension, with a very loving being of light. They would have a panoramic life review. Their entire life would pass before their eyes almost in an instant. But the difference from the normal idea of a life review is they would experience it from the point of view of the people they had affected. And that would cause them then to understand the effect of their life and to reevaluate their actions. So it's part of a learning process.
That's always struck me as such a beautiful thought, in that this isn't just a phenomena that leaves people empty or something. This is something where people often come back and want to do some great good for mankind.
Well, to me, one of the exciting things about the near-death experience reports is that it is consistent with other ways of examining the same process. There are people who are hypnotically regressed and asked to go back to a time before the current life. And there are these periods between lives that are often described. There's thousands and thousands of cases where people describe what they were doing between the last lifetime and the current lifetime. And there's a whole picture that tends to be consistent from different ways of looking at this information. So it tends to back up the notion that we do live in this multidimensional universe, and that our soul or our personality, our consciousness does survive the physical lifetime. And this is just sort of a learning process for us. So it's very exciting as a Westerner to sort of see that there's hope, you know, that we have a lot more time, if you like, to learn our lessons.
Definitely, definitely. Well, and let's get more into that right after we take our break. I'm Jeff Pitino. You're listening to The Cosmic Influence with myself and Walter Cruttenden and our guest, Dr. Claude Swanson. We'll be right back.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Cruttenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors, and their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now, it even gets better than that, because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com, and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Crittenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
Bioregion.net is the largest healing arts directory on the web. Our visitors are looking for holistic practitioners, schools, events, healing services, and products. Are you in healing arts? Become a member of Bioregion.net and get the best advertising values. You can increase your client base and your traffic. If you have a website, we can bring you more traffic. Want a website? Get a beautiful web display for only $4 a month. Become a member now. Mention HealthyLife.net and get 6 months free. Visit www.bioregion.net or call 828-232-0016.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Crittenden with Jeff Pitino, and we're talking today with Dr. Claude Swanson, the author of The Synchronized Universe and one of our most popular speakers at our recent conference, the Conference on Procession and Ancient Knowledge that just took place at UC Irvine. Claude, right before the break, you were touching not so much on the science, but some of the meaning of these circumstances. And, of course, for it to really have meaning to a lot of people, it's got to be backed by science.
Right.
It's got to be credible. And so I do want to talk about the meaning, but since your main body of work is on the science here, perhaps you could just elucidate a little bit more about some of the things you've investigating and how perhaps some of the other mainstream scientists are coming on board nowadays.
Sure. Well, let me give you a couple of examples in terms of the out-of-body case, because I think if we can show that there is an energetic form that contains our consciousness, which exists out of the body, that it's a big step toward scientifically backing up some of these big questions that kind of connect what you might call the theological with the scientific. A variety of experiments have been done with remote viewers, for example, where they were asked to remote view a target in a different room, separated by a considerable distance. The room was closed off and shielded. In that room was a target which would change over time. It would provide a scene, but the scene was constantly changing.
So when target, what do you mean? It's
in remote viewing, what you're asked to do, you're not told ever what you're supposed to be giving information about. It's always blind. You're given a set of numbers. That's what's called the target. And there's an envelope somewhere that will have a description of the target you're supposed to go to. It might be the Declaration of Independence, it would have a description of what it is you're supposed to be remote viewing. That's what's called the target. In this particular type of experiment, the target was a box in another room that was closed off. In that box was a scene, a picture, that would change at different times. Okay, randomly.
Oh, boy, that's got to be a hard one.
Okay, and so the remote viewer, who's off in another room, strapped down to a chair with electrodes are measuring his physiological signs, etc., goes into a light trance state and tries to remote view that box, okay, and tries to describe the scene which he sees in the box. And the experiment is done in the following way. They compare when he's accurate with the local measurements around the box, the local magnetic fields around the box, the local electrical fields, the optical distortions, the motions of strain gauges, physical parameters. What they find is that when the remote viewer is giving accurate information about the picture, that at that time, these sensors are going crazy. They're showing the presence of an unknown force, an unknown field, which cannot be explained by our current science. It's not electrical. It's not gravitational. It's something else.
What are these sensors then again?
Well, the sensors would be conventional sensors, magnetic sensors, electrical sensors, static electrical fields. One type of sensor that which they use involves strain gauges attached to metal plates hanging down. So these metal plates were actually being vibrated at the moment when accurate remote viewing information was being given.
Mm.
So there's something present there that's causing these disturbances in these conventional sensors. But the room has been shut off, and it has shielding of various kinds, so nothing could have gotten into the room.
So this not only shows that some people are very good at this particular thing, but it shows that there is an entity or some energy that's actually moving and associated.
Right, that there are actually measurable physical changes in the subtle energy environment.
Exactly, exactly. So this is just one type of hard scientific experiment. Another sort of famous one involved Ingo Swann back in the early 70s. Hal Puthoff, the physicist, asked Ingo to attempt to take a look at a physical experiment that was buried in the basement of a building at Stanford. It had seven layers of shielding around it. It had superconducting shielding. It had lead. It had copper. It had mu metal. It was an experiment looking for quarks, for free quarks, and it had never been disturbed by anything from outside before and should be impervious to any kind of disturbance. But Ingo just stood there and in his mind attempted to go sort of in the out-of-body state down to look inside this little machine. All of a sudden, the output traces of the machine began showing anomalies.
Huh.
And it never happened before or since. It had five different times while Hal stood there with him, he caused anomalies to happen. So, again, this energy form that we all possess and is part of our consciousness can go through all kinds of conventional shielding and can affect things by some set of laws that are not our current physics laws. It's a whole new physics. And, I mean, to me, when I look at some of the ancient technology, I think some of the ancients understood this phenomena much better than we do today. I think we've lost some of that knowledge, and we're just starting now to make sense out of some of the old mysteries. If you look at the stone circles, for example, look at the ley lines, how they use delay energy which flows through the earth. That, we believe, is the same subtle energy, and these ancient peoples probably understood it well enough that for them it was engineering, and probably they were trying to use it in a productive way to help maintain these altered states in a controlled way.
Yeah, there's some pretty good evidence that the ancients had a knowledge of subtle energies. One of those, there's a site in England with a number of stones that lead up to a round circle. I guess it's is that Avebury?
Avebury, yeah.
And Dr. John Burke did some study of this site and found out that, you know, all stones have a magnetic pole
right
to them, subtle as it may be.
Uh-huh.
But all the stones that faced the circle were negative, and all the ones that faced away were positive.
Uh-huh.
So how did these ancients know to align these stones in this manner if they weren't aware of the energy? It just too many stones. I think it was 27. So they were awfully very, very lucky, or they knew what was going on. But I think we need to take a short break.
We do, but we will be back with Dr. Claude Swanson, and we'll get into some of these ideas of ancient building techniques and some of their technologies as well when we come right back. You're listening to The Cosmic Influence.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Cruttenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Cruttenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time in a bookstore near you.
In college, I took a lot of history and liberal arts classes, and frankly, I don't remember much of any of it. But as an adult, I find myself engrossed in fascinating programs on the A&E and History Channel. They've pretty much helped me to be pretty impressive at social functions, and I just found out today that I can purchase DVDs of my favorite A&E and History Channel programs right through HealthyLife.net. You should visit HealthyLife.net and order your favorite A&E and History Channel program DVDs as well, and then discover how many people you can impress during your next social occasion.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcasting coders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. earthchannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cruttenden with Jeff Pitino. We are talking with Dr. Claude Swanson. Claude, right before the break, we started to talk a little bit about some of these ancient structures. How much do you actually look at some of the ancient teachings or structures as it relates to the modern science of the paranormal?
I'm looking fairly intensely right now in that area because my focus of research at the present time is what is called subtle energy. It's what the Chinese call qi, what the Hindus call prana. It has many different names. Wilhelm Reich called it orgone. Von Reichenbach, a German researcher in the 1800s, called it ode. It's been rediscovered over and over again, but it's the same stuff, and subtle energy is as good a name as any for it. When Reiki practitioners use energy in healing, that's the energy which they're using. We believe it's what flows through the ground and forms ley lines. We believe it flows through our body along the acupuncture meridians and comes out on the acupuncture points and is essential in maintaining our body and bringing what the Chinese call the life force into the body and keeping all the organs working. So it's a very important substance which is not understood at all by Western physics, but it appears to be the key that to make the bridge between our current Western science and this new age or higher dimensional science of consciousness. This subtle energy is really the key to making that connection. So that's what I'm focusing on now, and it manifests in many different ways. And one of the ways is in the ley lines and the stone circles, because they were engineering with that subtle energy. Phil Callahan is a well-known expert on some of these, on crops, agriculture, and the effects of stones by the ancients in different applications. And he's known that he's noticed that the builders in the olden times would choose stones of two different polarities. The Chinese would call the yin polarity if they wanted to relax. The huts where the workers would go and sleep at night were made of a certain kind of stone that would collect the yin energy, while the towers that were used by the warlords around their castles were made of a different type of stone, which had the yang energy. And so this same idea seems to show up over and over again if you look at how old builders in the past used these structures. When I was in England in 1999 with the crop circles, I spent time around Avebury and some of the other places, and I was with some very good dowsers. They would follow the ley lines into the stone circles, and they would notice how the stones were actually diverting the path of the ley lines. So the stone circles were built to manipulate and control the energy that flows through the earth in probably a very conscious way. So just one more clue that they knew some things that we've forgotten.
No doubt they have. I was reading about some of the ancient Assyrian culture the other day, and there's a wonderful researcher, Dr. Stefan Mall. He's probably the foremost Assyrianologist in the world, and he is was just remarking that the ancient Sumerian culture the Akkadians would practice archaeology, and they tried to rebuild some of the old stone structures, and they were absolutely adamant that they had to be rebuilt exactly as they were, the same orientation, and I think one of the quotes is, not an eyelash difference in measurements. And so it's amazing, you know, we kind of forgot all about this, but even the ancients themselves seem to recognize the need for even prior cultures to try to keep certain stone structures intact. And I think they may have had an importance on the world that we're just beginning to re-understand.
Yeah, you know, I begin my book, The Synchronized Universe, with a quote from the Hopi prophecy, the Hopi prophecy rock, and which makes the connection between technology and wisdom. And it really basically is a warning to Western society that we need to reconnect with wisdom, with a sort of spiritual knowledge, sort of a higher dimensional view of the meaning of things, so we can make our decisions about our technology in a correct way. And to me, that's what's happening now as we learn about subtle energy and the ley lines and the ancient wisdom of these old civilizations. We need to really absorb that and help learn from that so we can make wise decisions.
And it brings up the question, too, of what is technology? I think a lot of people look at technology as a very material thing of computers and cars and airplanes. And in some ways, I think it's almost like there's always that duality with that technology. We have to have an increase in spirituality and an increase in our understanding of consciousness as well to go with that.
Right. Technology is a proxy of our ingenuity, of our expanding consciousness, our greater mental capacity. And you're right. We've got to use it right.
If we don't use it right, then the consequences will not be very good for us. So I think for our survival, we need to be able to learn to make wise use of these discoveries.
Good. And that's what our research is all about. I know it's what your research is about. And and many those that we're loosely collaborating with through CPAC or other forums, it just seems like we do have more impetus. There is a bit of a revolution going on to put these ancient ideas into perspective, to understand the science behind them, and try to bring on the higher ages in a richer way. We need to tell people again how they can get a hold of some of these talks by these people.
Yeah, well, first off, Dr. Swanson, your book is available on your website, thesynchronizeduniverse.com.
Well, it's www.synchronizeduniverse.com. And synchronized is with a Z, And so it's available there and also on Amazon.
Excellent, right. Excellent. And also the CPAC talks, of which Dr. Swanson's is one, they're available on the CPAC conference website, which is www.cpaconline.com. That's CPAKonline.com. There's a link right on the homepage, and Dr. Swanson's talk is fascinating, as well as many of the other presenters.
Right. In addition to Dr. Swanson, you'll find talks there from John Major Jenkins, the Mayan cosmologist, John Anthony West, the rebel Egyptologist, Graham Hancock, Robert Schock,
John Daring, John Burke, Boris Fritz.
It's a whole body of work that I think helps us to understand that the higher ages are coming back again. So with that, I want to thank you, Claude, and look forward to having you back on the show sometime. In the meantime,
we'll be back right after this quick break.
Great, thank you.
Oh, we do have a...
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cruttenden with Jeff Pitino.
How are you doing?
And we just had a great talk with Claude Swanson. And
yeah, he is just, he's a fascinating guy to talk to, and I'd love to have him back on the show again.
Right, with his MIT Princeton background, he's certainly pushing the envelope with the conventional scientific community to get them to better accept subtle energies and some of these ideas that the ancients talked about that we lost for so long.
Definitely, definitely. And we will be back next month with a new show. In the meantime, if you're interested in purchasing some of the DVDs or CDs of the presentations from the CPAC conference, visit the website cpaconline.com. That's cpaconline.com.
And in the meantime, bring on the higher ages.